Yeah, exciting book of Genesis on Thursday night. Love Genesis. You know, it challenges our faith not to rely on the world's way of thinking, the evolutionary way of thinking. But God gives us some solid foundation in Genesis, and it kind of solidifies our faith, I think. Just a few announcements I have, actually. I was thinking before service, just to let everybody know, the bathrooms in the church are not really where we want them to be. They're not to the standard we want them to be. We really have no access to anybody that comes in that has any physical disabilities. So I want to get one on this level. So we're going to put one on this level. So right out here, actually. So if somebody needs a bathroom, plus if you need a bathroom in the service, it's always good and close. So we're going to start doing the bathrooms over, because the one up on the second floor, if my wife didn't convince me otherwise, I would have closed it. But she pleaded with me. So as long as we get it taken care of soon, I'm good with it. And then the ones on the lower level, they're just outdated. You know, the church hasn't had anything happen to it for a while, so we need to take care of a few maintenance things. So we're going to start doing that. I tell you this just so that you're prepared, in a sense, because we need help, right? It's not a one-man show here, or a two-man show. It really needs to be a thing that we all work together to do. And I think it gives us a koinonia. Helps us to get in fellowship with each other, and it works, you know. And yesterday when we had the opportunity, and I say opportunity because it really isn't a burden when you do it unto the Lord, you know, and to just help Larry and Fran move. You guys know Fran is not youthful, you know. She has knee problems, and Larry goes without saying with his diabetes and his heart and his legs and whatever else seems to be occurring there. He has a tough time, you know, and so it was good for us to go out. We had a few people go out and just do that, and I would encourage you, when those things happen, as a body of Christ, we need to be doing them, because, right, we're one body. So when one of us is hurting, we need to be doing those things. So it's good to see them in a house that hopefully will meet their needs, you know, with their physical ailments and whatnot. So just keep them in prayer. There will be along with the bathrooms and whatnot, we're going to do some cleaning in the church too, because we've got everything that the Baptists left over. We've still got that upstairs, and there's just a lot of stuff, you know. And Dawn is, I hope you don't mind me mentioning this, but after school's out, she's going to do a little garage yard sale out here in the parking lot. So if you have a lot of stuff you want to get rid of, just think about it. It's probably July-ish, I don't know, July-ish time frame, end of June, July-ish time frame, and we'll get some stuff out there from the church. We'll get some. I can probably fill the parking lot, I think, with him still at my house, you know. And we just moved, but it would be good to get rid of some of the stuff that we have laying around. And so keep that in mind. Also, boxes. You know, Larry and Fran need boxes. I stuck some boxes out here, this little cove out here. If you have some extra boxes, just put them there. JP's probably going to go over there this week and help out. If any of you have some free time this week, think of Larry and Fran. They need some things boxed up. They were beat yesterday. When we left them, if they're waiting for their bed to come in, they're getting a new bed, and they've got these reclining chairs that are all motorized. It's pretty cool, you know. It's a space shuttle kind of thing, you know. But it was, you know, they dropped in them, and I don't know if they had a bed, I don't think they could have got to it. You know, they were so tired and whatnot. So keep them in prayer, and if you got boxes, put them out here, and we'll get them to you, two of them. A couple things just to pray about. I want to start a men's morning study, probably once a month to start out with, just a cup of coffee and a donut kind of thing, and we'll I'm thinking we're going to go at least start to go. So we've been looking at the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. God's righteousness, not self-righteousness, but God's righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom. We've went through chapter 5, right? And we've seen where this is the essence of us. This is what the Lord has done in us. He said, I've given you a gentle spirit. I've given you a merciful spirit. I've given you a desire in your heart that you would seek after purity. And God has done all this in us so that we could be salt to the world, that we could put a flavor in the world that isn't bitter, but is salty, that drives people to the water, the living water, right? And that we could be light of the world, that we could sit upon that hill and shine over Elmira, and people would know who formed us, who created us, who formed us, who loves us, right? So that we could be light in darkness, that we could dispel the darkness because we're light. What a wonderful thing that we get the opportunity to be light. And we need to shine. We need to shine. We can't be shy about it. We got to let our light shine. And what's all this for? It's for His glory. It's not for us. It's not to say, look at us at Calvary Chapel. Look what I did. You know, look what I have achieved. But it's for His glory. It's for God. It's all about Him. It's nothing about us. And so often do we forget that. When things that are tough that we have to do, we say, we have to do it. Because the Lord demands us to do it, in a sense. But we get to do it. We get to serve them. We get to serve Larry and Fran. We get to serve other people in the body of Christ. We get to come to this church that the Lord has given us. To take in the Word. To throw our arms up. I didn't see many of you dancing, but we'll get there. But I would like to see us be free with the Lord, to just allow the Lord to work in our lives, you know, to come and worship. What an awesome privilege. But why do we do it? We don't do it to be seen. We shouldn't be doing it to be seen, but we should be doing it for His glory. Then Jesus would challenge the hearts of man later in chapter 5 about where do we set? We understand murder is murder and adultery is adultery, but where is our heart? Right? And He challenges us that if we've got hatred in our heart, if we've got lust in our hearts, it's just as bad. Don't get self-righteous on me. You know? And we shouldn't get self-righteous with the Lord and say we're good and it's everybody else, Lord, that you need to concentrate on. I always tell the Lord, wherever you take me, whatever you do with me, whatever you do, don't take me out of your presence, because I need to be in your presence. I need to know that you're with me. I need to know that I'm walking in that direction that you would walk. But I want the Lord to show me my heart. I want the Lord to bring out things that aren't necessarily what He would have them to be. You know? I want to be like Him. Do you want to be like Him? I want to be like Him. I want to be so much like Him when people see me, there's an oddity about me that people look at and say, there's something wrong with Him. Right? There's something peculiar about Him. The Word says that we're peculiar people. Right? Doesn't mean go out of your way to be foolish. It means to walk with the Lord. is peculiar. If you haven't noticed, you look out into the world today that there isn't a lot of light shining, even in the churches today, even in the people that say they go to church, that say they're Christians. There's not a lot of light that shines. We got to make that different for us. We gotta let our light shine before man, so that they see the Father in heaven and glorify Him. That's where I want to be. So as we look here at these verses, the next verses that Jesus would take us through in chapter 5, He would say, you have heard it said before, but I'm going to tell you the full scoop here. I'm going to tell you the full the whole message. I want to give you the full counsel. I want to tell you what it really means. And I want to tell you what it really means to you. Not to the murderers that are locked away in the penitentiaries, but I want to tell you what the effect of hatred in your life causes. It's a dysfunctional life, and I want your life to be functional. I want your life to be functional. And so to top all this off, as he goes through these, you hopefully, when we went through the end of chapter 5 here, you were challenged to look at your hearts and say, where is my heart? Where is my heart today on these things? You know, how do I love my enemies? Do I go the extra mile with somebody that really doesn't treat me with respect and honor? Do I do that? How do I do that? And then he tops it off in verse 48 there. It says, therefore, after you've heard this, he says, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Yeah, that word perfect means to be brought to its end or finished. It gives us a sense of completion, that there's nothing necessary for anymore for completion. We're complete. We're finished. And this looks to be impossible for us, doesn't it? I mean, we look at this and go, Lord, what are you asking here? You're asking for perfection. Absolutely. That's what God's looking for. Well, how do we get there and how do we achieve it? Well, only through Christ. Paul found that out in Philippians 3, verse 7. If you want to turn there, I'm going to read a text for you. It says, what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Do you count everything loss for Christ? You say, Christ is so important that everything else means absolutely nothing to me. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. How do we obtain perfection? Through faith in Christ. We got to have faith that God can work His righteousness in us. We're perfected in Christ and Christ alone. Then after that, in verse 1 of chapter 6, it says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, and be in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. The very first two words here is take heed. Take heed. To be attentive, to be aware, and again, to be careful. 1 Timothy would, chapter 3, verse 7, even though this verse is really talking about the overseers in the church, certainly the principle is applicable, I believe, in our lives as well, not just mine. It says, moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, speaking of the overseer, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Be careful. You know, he's not just after me. Even though I remember when Pastor Scott ordained me, he said, just remember, there's a target on your chest, and he's aiming for you now. Right? And we felt that, haven't we, here? Karen's back going out, certain incidences where it just seems like we prayed about people's backs today, and it was like, there's just the enemies all over it here, you know? But the snare of the devil, you know, if you take a snare, if you know what a snare is, in New York State, you can't trap with snares. You got to use foot traps, and if you're a trapper, you'd have to use a foot trap or whatever, because snares are illegal to use. But a snare is something that is, it's a wire, and it's got blades on it, and it's strung just right, so when the animal gets in it, it's a slow death. As they pull away, it starts to strangulate them, it starts to cut them. It's lethal. It's nasty, actually. It's not something that you would want to do to an animal. And you certainly wouldn't want to do it to yourself. But see, that's how the devil does. He gets us in these snares. And we try to pull away. It's painful, hurtful, and sometimes even deadly to us spiritually. We get cut up. And it's not good for us, and it's not good for those around us. So we got to be careful. Jesus says here, take heed, be attentive, be aware. In a sense, be aware of your surroundings. Luke chapter 20 says in verse 45, then in the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, remember, this is for the disciples. This is for us. This whole portion of scriptures on the Sermon Mount was for us, for his disciples. So he said to his disciples, beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplace, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at feasts, who devour widows' houses, and for a pretense makes long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation. So be careful. Beware. Beware of the scribes who desire. Be careful of what you desire. You know, the Lord wants you to be careful of what you desire. Is it pure? Going back to the essence of what a Christian is. Are we seeking the Lord in our desires? Often the Lord gives us the desires of our hearts when they're righteous desires. If they're not righteous, please, Lord, don't give them to us. Right, should be our prayer. But beware of the scribes, because they desired something, but it was the wrong desire. They were desired to be in the long robes, and they desired to, hey, in the marketplace, to be known by everybody. Hey, there goes Pastor Fred. You know, hey, Pastor Fred. You know, that kind of thing. We got to be careful. They love the compliments, and they love the best seats. You know, we don't have seats up here. You know, the elders don't come up and sit in the seats because they're the elders, right? Foolishness. We got to be careful. We don't put ourselves in those positions where all of a sudden, well, I'm Pastor Fred. I don't get offended when you call me Fred. It's not a big deal to me. You know why? Because here you have one pastor, and that's Jesus. He's your pastor. I'm one of the overseers. He's put me here to oversee. But I'm not really offended when you call me Fred. That's my name. Right? If you call me Ed, no, I'm just kidding. I'll point over there. But we got to be careful. Be aware. There's some tendencies that are natural for us. We got to, you know, why does the Lord tell us these things? Because He knows our natural tendency. Right? He knows our natural tendency. So when He tells women to be submissive, He knows us. He knows you. I mean, I'm not a woman. But He knows, He knows you guys, right? And He says, you know what, I got to tell them this because it's hard for them, right? It's hard for them. I got to remind them this. When He tells guys to be submissive, yeah, He's got to remind us of it, right? We're submissive to the Lord. It's not an easy thing, right? When He tells guys to love their wives, why does He tell us that? Because we would rather love football more than we love our wives. Mark, I didn't include that in you because you have that Jets t-shirt on or anything. I love Tebow. But we got to be careful, right? We got to be careful. And the Lord tells us these things because He knows our natural tendency is not to be careful. I have a great brother in the Lord. You've met him, Bruce. He is on the extreme edge of careful. He knows it, so if he ever hears this, he'll know that that's him that I'm talking about. But he is. I'm not. I'm very much, man, I'm ready to try something. I want to try something. I want to do this. And he would always pull me aside and go, Fred, have you thought about this? And so he's actually, because of our friendship and our fellowship, has made me more careful. But it's good. It's good. But take heed. Matthew 16, verse 5 says, now, when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Sadducees. And then they go on to... They didn't understand the Lord in that. And they thought it was, he was dealing with bread, yet he wasn't. He was dealing with the leaven of the Pharisees in the Sadducees. And he says in verse 9 of chapter 16 of Matthew, he says, do you not yet understand and remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, nor the seven loaves of the 4,000, and how many large baskets you took up. How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, physical bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then they understood that they did not tell them to beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Be careful. Be aware. that there's some doctrine out there that's not good. You know, we were talking last week a little bit. I hit on it, or either Thursday. It was last Sunday. I think I hit on it that the new NIV is not very good. I'll leave it at that. Is not very good. We got to be careful. We got to be aware of that. When we read these new translations, we got to be careful. We got to be aware that they might not be what the Lord would have. Right? The doctrine of the Pharisees. What was the doctrine of the Pharisees? It was a hypocritical doctrine. Right? It was filled with hypocrisy, saying one thing, but really, in the hearts of hearts, was not what they were. Right, the visual looked good, but the internal, the way the Lord looks, wasn't very good. But we have this natural tendency to want the attention. We want the attention. We want to be. I know. Even at World Kitchen now, where I work, it's certain people. They want to make sure you know that they've done certain things. You know, that you're appreciated, that they're appreciated for what they've done, you know, and accomplished. And when somebody else gets recognized and they don't get recognized, there becomes some problems. That should not be a part of our walk. We should say, hey, you know what? I'm giving glory to the God. I'm working for a man, and he's paying me. But ultimately, I'm working for the Lord. And he will pay me. And you know what? I'll take them crowns off and throw them at his feet. Just to be in his presence is enough for me. Right? But we have a natural tendency that we have to be careful of, is that when we do something, we're not like, hey, Joe didn't do it, but I did it. We get kind of high on ourselves. He didn't show up, but I showed up. Hey, I do it. I do it too. Right? Where I get upset, I'm like, hey, you know what? I expected more people at Larry and Fran's. I did. I expected more people at Larry and Fran's. But who am I? Right? So I was satisfied that I was there. The Lord convicted me and said, hey, don't worry about it. You're here, and you're the one that's going to be blessed, right? But for me to worry about that, I worry about this guy right here. Where's my heart? We don't have to worry about anybody else. Just worry about this guy. He has big enough problems, right? But beware that there's hypocrisy in our lives too, and we need to deal with it. So he says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men. These charitable deeds, these givings of, you know, the King James would say alms there. Your giving. Practice of the virtue of mercy. You know, when we give to somebody, we're saying we're going to be merciful to somebody. Right? It's a practice of mercy. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about others. Right? It's about others. We need to look toward others and what their needs are. Right? What kind of heart are we exemplifying? Are we exemplifying a giving heart? Somebody that, hey, you know, doesn't have a tight rein on their pocketbook. Brother and sister need some cash. Willing to dip in and give some cash. Not to me, but to somebody that, hey, the Lord's laid on your heart. Often the Lord will lay on my heart somebody, and I'll be struggling with it, and then I'm going to figure out, you know, I need to do this. And once I do it, I figure out, hey, why did he do that? Because that person had a need. Right? That person had a need. And we have to fulfill that. But he says, don't do this because man wants you to do it. You know, don't do something here in this church because I want you to do it. Because I want people to clean them toilets better. I want people to do certain things around here better. But don't do it for me. that's the wrong reason. Do it for the Lord, you know, because he wants to receive your glory, right? Do it for him. Don't do it for anybody else. You know, notice here too in this verse, you'll notice this isn't a commandment. Take heed that you do not do charitable deeds before men. It's kind of a take it. The Lord's kind of saying here, this is what we do. As Christians, we do charitable deeds. Right? We do terrible deeds. It's something that we do. It's not a commandment, but it's something that we do. It's taken for granted that a Christian is going to live this way. He's going to give mercy. He's going to have this virtue of mercy in that we give to people because they're hurting. It's not because they deserve it, because believe me, you, that none of us deserve the mercy of God. Right? We are condemned by our sin. Our sin is the key word there, not his sin. He came here not as a sinner, but to take upon himself the sins of the world. But for us, we're to do this. It's not because somebody deserves it. It's an act of love. And it gets down to really, it's not why and how we give or how much. It's right because we look at the widow's mite, right? She gave because that's all she had. Are we willing to give all we have for the Lord? If the Lord asks you for every single penny in your pocketbook, if you would give it. Because if you remember right, it's all his anyways. Right? And it challenges us to say, where is our heart? Where is our heart in all this, you know? Are we so consumed with ourselves that we forget about others? So it's a challenge to us, for sure. When we do our charitable deeds, are we doing it before men? For their notice, for, you know, so that they can notice and say he's a good contributor to the society. Doesn't mean that when somebody does notice that your reward in heaven is gone, by the way. Because it all comes down to your heart. It's not what they see necessarily. They might see and say, wow, he's given a lot. It's when we stand up and say, I've given a lot. Right? It's important not to seek the approval of man. Why? Because it will perfect something that we don't want to perfect, and that is, it'll perfect the wrong motives. We'll start doing things because we're the popular one. We've got one motive here. One motive. We're to make Jesus popular. And us, we don't need to be popular. Right? Because we belong to the King. We're already in. We have one motive. To make him popular in people's lives. You know, in Luke chapter 19, verse 8, chapter 19, the first 10 verses talk about a guy named Zacchaeus there. And it says that Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, this is after he had realized who Jesus was. And he looked upon him and he says, I need to see him. I need to. He realized who he was and he wanted a relationship with him, and he actually allowed Jesus to, when he asked that he had to come into his home, he said, he took him to his home, right? There was a change in his life, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold. He was repenting from his wrong motives, his false accusations. We know who he was. He was a tax collector that skimmed off the top after he collected the tax for the Romans. He would skim off the, he would add a little bit more and take a little bit more from the folks that he shouldn't have. But what I love about this is that he doesn't go up to brother so-and-so and say, brother so-and-so, I did this and I shouldn't have, or and now I'm going to get fourfold. He doesn't go up to the poor, or he doesn't go up to brother so-and-so and say, I'm going to give so much to the poor now because I've ripped them off for so long, so that he could be considered something precious in their eyes. No, he went to the Lord. He went to the Lord and he said, Lord, I've dishonored you in a sense. I've done things falsely. I had false motives. And now I want to give back what I took. But not just give back, but I want to give it fourfold. And this was just between him and the Lord. It wasn't me or anybody else that was there with him that he was bragging about. Wow, did you see him? Because we've seen that, right? We've seen people get up on the stage because they've donated so much to hospitals because they've had a lot of money. But unfortunately, they didn't realize who gave them the money in the first place. They really didn't give God the glory for it, right? So Zacchaeus here, he understands his false motives, and between him and the Lord, he confesses and repents from his sin. James chapter 1 verse 27 would say, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. As I was reading this, I was thinking, I wonder why that's pure religion. Undefiled before God, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. You know why? I think, this is my opinion, but there's absolutely no profit in it for us. It's, you know how many people are in the nursing homes today that call themselves Christians that are going in there and ministering to people? Not very many. You know why? No profit in them. It's all behind the doors. Nobody wants to do it. Why? They're kind of the forgotten sheep, in a sense, the folks that are in there. It's a sad state of the church. I went in, me and Karen went to visit a lady here a few weeks ago, and we went in there, and I was so blessed. We couldn't find her in her room. She has dementia, so they kind of lock the doors, you know, they have them doors. Don was there with me one day when we went to visit. And so we knew she was captivated, in a sense, right? Because they have a tendency to wander. And so we went down the hall and we heard this young man speaking. And we got a little closer and we stood at the door. And there's these two young men, early 20s, with a Bible and a guitar. They were singing to him and they were teaching him about the Lord, sharing the gospel with him. And I thought it was so sweet that these young men had nothing better to do. In a sense, in their mind, they were serving the Lord, and absolutely nothing better to do when you're serving the Lord. And yet they went in. There's nothing. They didn't go around and do an offering to these old people. There was nothing in it for them, other than the Lord loves to see it. That's true. The true heart that the Lord loves to see. He wants to see where our hearts are. And it says, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So I went in and encouraged the young guys, you know, said, man, keep doing this. Yeah, I keep doing it. Not a lot of people doing it. Yeah, I keep doing it. They had been in there a few times that month, so it was kind of neat to see. And enjoyed it. So what should we be doing before men? There are some things that we can do before men. Right? If we go back to chapter 5 of Matthew, here's one thing you can say. It says, you are light of the world. So we can let our light shine before men. Right? That they might glorify the Father that is in heaven. We have some opportunities. You want us to be seen by men? Let your light shine before them. Matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, it says, "Whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which in heaven." Gives us some good motivation there, right? To go share our faith. Go let our light shine before men. We need to do that. And no rewards. Why? What are the rewards for? The rewards are for where our hearts are. Right? Is your heart doing the thing? Is the motive of your heart truly what they should be? And by the way, I don't think we should be after the reward. I think we ought to be. We've got the reward. We already got the reward. We got eternal life. But our love for Christ should just be automatic in our lives now. Now that He has created this new creature in Christ, now it should be something that we do. It's a normal progression for us to go out and share the gospel with somebody because we love them. And they look at us a little strange because we love them. We tell them that we love them. And they're like, "What? You love me? You don't even know me." And they have a hard time with that, but that's our reward, to serve Him. Verse 2 there says, "Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their rewards." This word hypocrite really means stage player. It's like an actor. It's like acting that you're doing the right thing, but you're not really. A lot of people give me lip service. "Pastor Fred, you know, I'm going to be at church this weekend, and I'll see you there." "Yeah, okay." And you get kind of excited about it. "Wow, yeah, somebody's catching the fire here." They don't show up. Next time you see them, "Yeah, you know, I'm going to be right at..." Don't bother. I'm telling you right now, I'm not into that game. I really am not. And you know what? I don't think the Lord's into that game either. Don't give Him lip service. Give Him actions. He's not into pretenders. Right? He doesn't want you to be a pretender. He wants you to be real with Him. He doesn't want you to sound your trumpet when you do something good. Nobody needs to hear it. It says that in verse 3 there, it says that don't allow your left hand to know what your right hand's doing. Right? So just do it to the Lord. Do it to the Lord. It's between you and the Lord. Don't be tooting your own horn. It's between you and the Lord. You know, you can, if you want everybody to know how righteous you are, you can do that. But it really, the Lord really doesn't want you to do that. Right? And who are we serving? So where is your heart? You know, I've been, as we went through chapter 5, it continues on, right? As we go through chapter 6 here, it's a continuous message. If you want to title anything here, it's, where is your heart? Where is your heart? Proverbs 6, or 19, verse 17 says, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he repay again." Unto the Lord. Right? We don't lend to anybody. We lend to the Lord. When we do something or give something, we're not lending to them. We're lending to the Lord. And I haven't found anybody that can repay with interest like the Lord does. Right? Look around at all the credit unions and banks. But the Lord pays well. He pays well. He rewards us for sure. And again, it's not about the reward. Right? Because we have our reward in Jesus. You know, we have our peace. I wouldn't trade it for the world. So when we give to the Lord. Matthew 25:35-36 says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." All those things. Why? And of course they would stop and say, "I did that." They didn't even know they did it. Why? Because their heart was motivated because of their love for Christ. So, when we do something, are we doing it in our works of righteousness? Are we doing something because we love the Lord? We want to serve Him, right? We want to serve Him. Or does our hypocrisy just blind the Lord? Right? When we stand before the Lord someday, are we going to be expecting something that we don't get because we've been just driven by this hypocrisy in our lives? Be real with people. Be real with the Lord. You know, you can come to church all day. You know, you can put on the churchy face all you want, but the Lord knows. He knows who you are inside and out. Now that can be frightening for you, but it doesn't have to be, right? Because today you can confess to Him. You can confess all the sins that you've been holding back from your confession to Him. And you can get peace back into your life. Because one thing we know about sin is sin drives out peace. They don't have a home together. It's not something that lives well together. It's oil and water. One dries out the other one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 says that the love of, in King James says, the love of Christ constrains me. Constrains me. In the New King James it says, it compels me. It compels me. Are you compelled? Are you compelled today to serve Christ with your whole heart? Because you know what? He died for you with His whole heart. He could have backed away any time He wanted to. But He didn't. Does the love of Christ compel us?